Remembrance Sunday is the day when we remember young men of this congregation who died in the First World War. These youths were part of a volunteer army who left school, college, and work to fight for king and country and for the freedom of small nations. Leading up to 1914, Western Europe had been relatively peaceful for many years. And let's face it, the military on all sides were spoiling for a war. It was believed that the war would be a quick affair. The troops would be home for Christmas. And as ever, young men were anxious not to miss an adventure they would be able to boast about in old age. And as we know, they were also deceived by the lie that this war would be the war to end all wars. Surely the greatest lie in the history of the world. We know the carnage that is what is now called the Great War. And history has shown that after a pause of 21 years, the fighting resumed in Europe in World War II. And there were hundreds of wars leading up to those great wars. But these wars stand out for the numbers of casualties and for the exceptional barbarity exercised in them. Conservative estimates for the number who died in both wars is between 65 and 82 million. That does not include wounded at all, just the dead. Now, the human brain is incapable of making an emotional connection with those sort of statistics. We know 82 million, oh, that's a big number, but it doesn't really sing to us. We need to hear stories to bring home to us the barbarity and waste of life of those two wars. So this morning I want to share two stories with you. They come from one from each war, and they speak of how cheaply life was valued. And yet the stories are also uplifting, because they are testament to the greatness of human souls. No matter how dark the circumstances, there are always individuals who manage to retain the nobility of their soul. There are always people who will follow the dictates of their faith, no matter what their personal cost. The accounts of lives like these outshine the darkness of the times in which they lived and died. And both individuals, the stories, were from the Christian tradition. One was Anglican, a member of the Church of England, the other a Unitarian. The first account is from the First World War, and the name is Edith Cavell. On the 12th of October, 1915, Edith Cavell was shot by a German firing squad at the National Shooting Range in Belgium. And I just find that idea of bringing a live human person to a shooting range to take their life absolutely horrific. She had been tried and found guilty of war treason. And despite worldwide pressure for clemency, the death sentence was carried out. Edith was the eldest child of an Anglican minister and his wife. And today the Church of England commemorates her in its calendar of saints on the 12th of October each year. She was born in Norfolk. She trained as a governess, and she went to work with a family in Brussels for some years. When her father became seriously ill, she returned home to nurse him. And when he recovered, she went on to train as a nurse. In 1907, The two parts of her life merged nicely together. She went to work in Brussels to train nurses in hospitals in Belgium. When the war broke out, she was actually on holiday in England, but she chose to return to her work in Brussels. When war broke out, she quickly became part of a group that sheltered the wounded British, French, and Belgian soldiers. She organized their safe passage across the border to the Netherlands. And sad to say, it was a letter from a grateful soldier who made his way back to England that formed part of why she was shot. He wrote to say, "Thank you very much, I got back safely to England." So she was then deemed to have been helping an enemy country. She had nursed the wounded from all sides of the conflict without question, and this included many German soldiers. In August 1915, she was betrayed, arrested, and charged with war treason. Unusually, when she was arrested, being a Christian, she decided she would just tell the truth. She admitted everything. At her trial, it was argued that there were mitigating circumstances. These were her honesty, the fact that she had nursed and saved the lives of many German soldiers as well, her age, her gender, and her medical background should have saved her from the death penalty. Those arguments for clemency were greeted by the comment of the general, which was, "I only regret I don't have 3 or 4 old English women to shoot." Days before her execution, she told her chaplain, "I realize patriotism is not enough. I must have no hatred or bitterness towards anyone. I must have no hatred or bitterness towards anyone." She was shot by firing squad at 7 a.m. on the 12th of October. And she was age 49 at the time. When the war ended, her body was repatriated to England. And that was an exceptional privilege. I was saying to Paul, this is a real Trivial Pursuit question. There were only 3 bodies repatriated to England at the end of the First World War. One was Edith Cavell, the other was a Charles Fryatt, and the third was the unknown soldier. The second story is somebody called Norbert Kapek. He was Czech, and I apologize for murdering the pronunciation of his name. He was born into the Roman Catholic tradition in 1870. At the age of 18, he left that tradition and joined the Baptist and trained as a minister and spent many years as an evangelical Baptist preacher. Now, he was born in 1817, so he was 44 when the First World War broke out. And his preaching came to the attention of the German authorities, and he was in danger. And in 1914, he emigrated to the United States. While in America as a Baptist preacher, he became more liberal in his views, and he was twice tried for heresy by the Baptist Church. He resigned his ministry from the Baptist Church and he joined the Essex County Unitarian Church in New Jersey and went on to become a minister in the Unitarian Church, as did his wife. In 1921, he returned to Czechoslovakia with the financial support of American and English Unitarians, and he went back to found a Unitarian congregation in Prague, which is still in existence today. In many churches in Unitarian tradition, they celebrate a flower communion where people bring flowers, put them in a vase, and then you take a different flower home. He invented that ceremony. At the outbreak of the Second World War, his wife returned to America. But he and his daughter Zara decided to remain in Prague. His outspoken views came to the attention of the Gestapo, and he and Zara were both arrested. He was 71 years of age at the time of his arrest. The charge against him was listening to foreign broadcasts and high treason. His sermons were used as evidence against him. And he was sent to Dachau, where he was housed in a camp for clerics of all denominations who had spoken out against the Nazi regime. He was tortured here, but he left Dachau in an invalid transport on the 12th of October, 1942. The 12th of October was the anniversary of Edith Cavell's execution in 1915. He was sent to a castle in Austria where he died of gas poisoning. So just 2 weeks ago would have been the 80th anniversary of his death. His daughter Zara was sent to forced labor in Germany. So there are two stories, one from each war, both people who follow their faith no matter the cost. Edith Cavell, Norbert Capek. Both were idealists. Cavell lived out the teaching that my neighbor is not limited to a particular nationality. It doesn't depend on the uniform you wear. She cared for the sick. She tended as people needed her, without reference to nationality. Her words, "Patriotism is not enough. I must have no hatred or bitterness for anyone," are inscribed on a monument to her. The words we should live by. Norbert Capek followed his heart and faith. He eventually found a faith he could live with honesty in. He preached freedom of conscience. His constant refrain was that religion must place truth above tradition, spirit above scripture, and freedom from authority. That individual teaching and freedom to think for oneself was at the opposite of National Socialism. Both of them could have taken the same path. She could have remained in England. He could have returned and lived his old age out in the United States. Their decisions cost them their lives. But many years later, their stories shine like bright stars in a sky that in their times was very dark. And we can only salute their bravery and be grateful they lived. Amen.